head. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. This is the second hour of our lazy Saturday afternoon show. Thank you very much for joining me, those of you who are out there, instead of out playing with the grandchildren and taking care of the family and enjoying this really glorious, beautiful day. I don't know how it is where you are. I'm hoping it's even half as beautiful as it is right here in the Northeast. It's been a beautiful summer, folks, hasn't it? So, let's look at a very simple petition for summary judgment. Now, every situation is different. This is one that was crafted just before the weekend. So this is hot off the presses. And I don't even remember what's in it, but let's see if we can figure it out. It says, the pleading is entitled Notice of Claim, not Counterclaim, Claim, Notice of Settlement, Notice of Bond, Petition in the Nature of a Colorable Motion by Special Appearance for Summary Judgment, Pursuant to Private Settlement, or in the alternative, a hearing for third-party defendants to show cause why they should not be held liable for theft of funds in the special maritime jurisdiction. And this is a case where the party came in as a plaintiff. And then as more liable parties appeared, he appointed them as third-party defendants instead of defendants. He could have expanded the defendant list, but it seemed nice to make them segregate the fiduciaries on the instruments off as third-party defendants. So basically he says that he's coming before this court as a real party through the transmitting utility straw party, and that he is seeking the following causes of action, or pursuant to the following causes of action. This is done in a sworn pleading, of course. And it says, I'm going to change some wording here, but just to give a general overview, it basically says that the secured party has secured the action up to and including X amount of dollars, and that was by way of a bonded promissory note. So that would be one of the first things that's introduced either in the complaint or in summary judgment. In this case, the complaint was ages ago in another form, so this is a mop-up situation, but in your case, perhaps it's something that you're filing on Tuesday. So the secured party has secured this action up to, let's say, $200,000. Now, let's talk in Sam Kennedy terms. Let's say up to $50 million with bonded promissory note number, whatever, and that would be noted as an exhibit, which is incorporated here in its entirety by reference. The instrument is drawn against, and then we laid out, a bond. Now, in this case, it was drawn directly against a BC bond, a birth certificate bond. Folks, did you know you can do that? You don't have to draw it against an indemnity bond. You can draw it against a birth certificate bond. There are some advantages to indemnity bonds in that you list the account holders. I love that. But you can also draw an indemnity bond against a birth certificate bond. I love a birth certificate bond because it's based upon a security of genuine substance, which they won't recognize anyway, but they certainly will at the highest levels that it's being used, the Treasury. Does everybody understand what a birth certificate is? What is the possible reason for filing a birth certificate, for filing, for mom submitting an application for a certificate of live birth? Isn't that a request for some sort of privilege? Why else would you do it? Because when she files that application, she just as easily could have signed your name into the family Bible and been done with it. Why didn't she? We'll answer that question after a short break. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy, and this is Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permanent hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to the second hour of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy, and it's always my pleasure to have you join me. It's a real honor to be in this position, believe me. I understand that, and I understand the responsibility that it entails. Speaking of responsibility, I'd like to mention Notary Depot. We had a little bit of a feisty discussion last Saturday or Sunday about notary process, and it's clear that if you're going to attempt administrative process, it needs to be done through a notary, and not just any notary, but a notary who knows how to do it. A notary who knows how to suggest ways that you won't get yourself and herself or himself in trouble. In other words, the notary has to function within a capacity wholly in accord with the statutes by which the notary is authorized, but yet recognized by the public for certain functions. Excuse me. And also, the notary should be familiar with BIC process if you are going to be attempting commercial remedies in this manner. And the place to find such a notary is Notary Depot, D-E-P-O-T, at hush.com. And just send them an email with a subject line that says, "Need a notary," or "How the hell can I find a notary?" They'll like that. And mention your state, and I'm sure they'll get back to you. So, that said, we were discussing very briefly as part of a summary judgment, the BC bond. You know, when I lecture at the Law Merchant Leadership Conference / retreat, excuse me, we start off by basically laying down the parameters and the protocols for utilizing BIC instruments. But it's your understanding that I covet, not your adherence. You can do it. I'm sure there are an infinite number of ways to make payment under public policy. How you choose to do it is what makes it your protocol, your policy, not mine, not someone else's. And so if you choose to route something through something else, fine, just know what you're doing and why you're doing it. You don't want to make the Department of Trustee a drawee on the account, as was done for years, but you might want to make a deposit into the Department of Treasury that you're drawing against, a particular instrument that you're drawing against. And so we have been doing that using indemnity bonds, but also using that brilliant birth certificate bond that Winston Shrout invented and developed. It has many different titles. The version that I've perfected for my use is called a non-negotiable unlimited private bond for set-off. Just a slight alteration on the original name. And I'll tell you, it looks very fancy. The border on it alone is 5.6 megs. The text is about 10K. So you can route a promissory note through that if you'd like. And if time is short and you have one on file, by all means. You just have to understand the principles behind it. And that's what was being said in this paragraph here, that the instrument is drawn against non-negotiable unlimited private bond for set-off number, whatever, on deposit with Henry M. Paulson, Secretary of the United States Treasury, in parenthesis, holder in due course, in his capacity as trustee for the above-noted defendant and third-party defendants. And we're going to call them from now on just defendants. Next paragraph. Pursuant to the above, it's a fact that intervener is paramount creditor to this action, in parenthesis, exhibits A and B. Now, notice that was an averment, not a negative averment, as is the next paragraph, which says this matter is settled to the complete satisfaction of all parties of interest. In this case, those were averments. And I'll bet if we lined up 100 people and said, you want to take a guess why, very few would come up with it. But it's intuitively obvious that if I love using averment, and I think it has a much more telling effect, because it doesn't put us in a position of submitting to a jurisdiction in a fashion that might not be advantageous to us, then why would I use an averment? That's because there was no certificate of performance, excuse me, of non-performance or non-payment here. This pleading is going in prior to the administrative remedy being completed. Now, that's not a great idea, folks. Because all you want to do is take in by negative averment the private agreement. That's it. We had no choice here. So this fellow is taking in a petition for summary judgment, which is going to be based upon something else. And what's the only other thing it could be based upon? The settlement. That the BC bond is already in place, settling all accounts. So in that case, probably there should have been a statement added to this that said there is no evidence of a defect in non-negotiable unlimited private bond for set-off number, whatever. And that's why it pays to have a little extra time to put things like this together so you can put them down for a day or two, come back to them with a fresh mind, and analyze exactly what you're doing. But you get the idea here, that this isn't a very complicated document to put together. Now, what is summary judgment? Summary judgment is a judgment based upon the evidence being so overwhelming that there's no point in discussing the facts of the case. Yes, this is really about the facts. How many times have we said, let's not get into the facts of the case? We don't want to talk about those facts. We don't want to give any weight to your nonsense argument since we've already settled the case. Also, because we're a creditor, we're the supreme creditor to the debtor, and so whatever the outcome, the money belongs to me anyway. It's coming back to me. So let's just get this nonsense out of the way. In this case, there was a little more that was necessary, and I just wanted to read you enough so you get the idea. And the relief that he's asking for is not something that is impossible for the petitioned party to deliver. You ask a judge to throw the attorney in jail and do this and do that, I can tell you this, you've emboldened them as opposed to recruited them for your purposes, because it's something they can't do and they won't do. But this is a very simple request for relief that says all they want is a declarative judgment within 10 days, which is wholly consistent with the private settlement. In fact, that's all that had to be said here, with the private settlement in evidence and findings of fact and conclusions of the law of the contract. Well, that's being added just in case he goes against the evidence, in which case he wouldn't give them to you anyway, but at least you put in this pleading and then you can springboard off of that if you want. And this order asks for the relief to include a global correction of all public records, including, without limitation, this court's accounting of that case. Now, isn't that a nice, colorable way to say it? We're not demanding X amount of dollars or payment on the note or anything like that. Just correct the records to be consistent with the private settlement. Number two, enforce all verified security interests and perfected maritime liens. Now imagine if you had a perfected maritime lien. That one little phrase would sum it all up. That's all you want, is enforce all liens in this court, not just mine, any others. Number three, return all overage to me, and that can be in the form of, you know, a wire transfer, or money order, gold, silver, anything that will provide the funds. I'm not thrilled with a money order. Anything you have to endorse on the back transfers the liability to you, when all you really want are the funds. And also, a return of the overage could come in the form of a settlement statement of equivalent value. So, we didn't ask for a lot here. It's very possible a judge could sign off on this. Understand the public mindset if one is going to go in as a plaintiff. And then there are just a few other follow-up paragraphs about it being res judicata and stare decisis, and a time limit for all the parties to comply with the order. And in the event that they don't comply, then we need that show cause order that we spoke about in the heading, such that they would be exhibiting a complete accounting of the books and off-balance sheet records regarding this case. And also they should show cause. They should have the opportunity to show cause why they should not be held personally and fully liable for a theft of funds in the special maritime jurisdiction. For having taken a promissory note, excuse me, and not credited the account. They need to post the credit. In case you don't know what a credit is, folks, a credit is an increase in liabilities, and a debit is an increase in assets. Very strange double bookkeeping, double entry bookkeeping. And when you think about it, you'll understand that double entry bookkeeping was the veil that made possible the theft of all property in 1933. We'll pick this up after the break, my friends. It's now 2:19 Eastern Standard Time. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Thanks for joining us.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint water system with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Ching. Folks, welcome back to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Thanks for joining me. And, folks, we're discussing here some plaintiff procedures. And believe me, based upon my discussions with numerous well-intentioned patriots around the world, I can tell you this. The patriot community needs these procedures. This is essential stuff. Because if you imagine this, my friends, imagine if you became skilled at fighting as a plaintiff in a pure admiralty setting with all of your cases being by confession of judgment. Just imagine what a powerhouse you would become in your personal dealings, commercial dealings. Now, after asking for relief and asking for the show cause order, we then put a little section in that says judicial notice. We gave notice of certain things. These are things we've used in other documents over the years, but there's one here that I thought you might find of interest. And this is something that we are going to talk about heavily at the Law Merchant leadership retreat in October. Because this is where you separate the creditors from the debtors, right here. Judicial notice. It is the law of the claim, in parenthesis, exhibit whatever, and that would be a copy of the UCC-1, or perhaps a copy of the security interest, or both, that any attempt, that any attempt to subrogate the benefits and privileges of the claim, with a capital C, your claim against your debtor, will be accepted at full personal liability. The co-claimant fee for the privilege of being joined to the claim has been previously established by the parties at $50 million per impairment or stultification of the debtor and or creditor thereunder, in parentheses, exhibits F and G, close parentheses. Any such party is entitled to receive a timely, any such party is entitled to timely receive a true bill and opportunity to pay the fee or participate in a commercial lien against the said party's personal liability. So there it is. Sort of a nice way of saying that we'll send out a true bill the very day for $50 million, the very day that you indicate to us that you wish to become a co-claimant. And how do you do that? By impairing my claim. It's one thing to make a claim against a straw man when I have a pre-existing claim. If you engage in any sort of commerce or business with my debtor, you become my debtor, because if you're looking to secure funds from him, they belong to me first. I'm first in line perfected. If you're seeking to give funds to the debtor, they belong to me and you're my debtor. Either way, you're my debtor. That's sort of a funny principle, isn't it? It's almost like a perpetual motion machine. I don't care if you're heading north or south, you're stopping off back east to visit me. And so that's an important clause to put in here, because it puts the offending party, and I don't care if it's a judge, I don't care if it's an FBI agent, I don't care if it's the president of the United States Federal Corporation, it puts them into my grasp in commerce. And commerce is its own set of laws. It has nothing to do with their statutory nonsense. Commerce, we don't need a law library with perhaps 100 million written pages that no one will read and are there solely, when you think about it, what's the only possible reason all of those laws can be written, those rules, regulations, statutes, laws, nonsense? It's to dissuade people from reading them so that you must use an attorney who hasn't read them either and doesn't understand them for the purpose of continuing the facade and transferring the wealth. That's fine. I don't say that pejoratively. I'm not being judgmental here. That's just the way it is. Basic common sense, logic and reasoning would be offended to draw any other conclusion. But in commerce, I don't need all of that. I could write the rules of commerce on a single sheet of paper. I could write them on the bottom of my feet. And you'll hear, Judge, here are the rules. Let me take my shoe and sock off a minute. Can you read that? Might not go over too well. But anyway, this is how we might construct. We might construct a petition for summary judgment. Now, when we come back from the break in the next segment, we're going to discuss how you don't even have to construct a complaint. This one document can do the whole thing. And the name of that process is called summary judgment in lieu of complaint. Speaks for itself, doesn't it? Summary judgment in lieu of complaint. 4 or 5 quick pages, ready to go at your whim. Everybody should have one of these in a six gun. And we'll discuss it when we return. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Thanks for joining me.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept.
You'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
I got no bread for the rent. I got my next two paychecks spent. And my debts are...
Welcome back, my friend. We're in the last half hour of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Let me repeat what I said before, I think, the last break. That before, actually, after, at the beginning of the last segment, which was... that if you need to do, if you're seeking to execute administrative process, you need to use a qualified notary. Please do not use the average neighborhood notary public. Don't go to Walmart and stop in at Citizens Bank and say, "Here, would you execute this? And I need you to receive mail, and so that you'll have to execute this certificate of non-payment in 10 days, and here's a bill of exchange, and would you please demand payment on behalf of myself in capacity of being a living man?" Don't start that nonsense. They'll take you in the back of Walmart, and they'll flog you. And, in fact, I'll give them authorization. I'll send them a letter right now. "Please take this patriot in the back and tie him to one of those cheap bicycles that you sell and start flogging him until he wakes up." You can flog them with those $8 ties you sell. By the way, those Walmart ties, not better than the most expensive ties I ever had in my life. So, you want to use an experienced notary familiar with the BIC process who knows what not to do as well as what to do. And you can find such a notary at notarydepot@hush.com. Beware when you start getting notary. If you hit an intransigent notary, like the letter I read last week on the air, someone says, that notaries cannot do that. This is, notaries can authorize signatures and a few things like that, then run the other way. Now, certainly every state differs on what notaries have the statutory authority to execute, but you should know that in your state before you go out and seek a notary for these purposes. So now, instead of putting in a petition for summary judgment after a complaint, why not combine them into a device known as summary judgment in lieu of complaint? In other words, I want summary judgment. I'm not going to put a complaint in. And that's a very smart document. Why would you want to enter a complaint into a court just to ask to have summary judgment? Why not just ask for the summary judgment? All you need is a court order. And so it can be done as one document. Whatever the document is, it needs to establish certain jurisdictional and venue processes. And on our CD, we have a document like that. But any bedrock plaintiff document should include those kinds of passages. So in establishing the jurisdiction and the venue, you would want to establish that the party you're suing is a United States person or a resident of a federal district or does business in a federal district. That's a one-sentence establishment. John Jones is clerk of court in a court of the United States and presumed to be a resident thereof. Maybe take the word presumed out. Just say, is a resident thereof. Are they going to come back and say, I'm not a resident? Oh, my goodness. I heard some public official on television, some woman talking about, what was it, some benefit or other. But you have to prove that you are a resident of this. Oh, there were some elderly folks that were told that they could submit voter registration cards in some community, purportedly, I guess, to take over that community by force of the size of the population. And we all know, man, I know, I'm a senior citizen myself, we're like rabbits. We seem to multiply before your eyes. It's all the work of AARP. And our goal is singular. As elderly people, our goal is to rob every penny we can and live next to the golf course and play golf in our dying years and have all the young people of the country pay for us. I'm telling you that because I'm honest. That's exactly what the aggregate goal of the elderly population of the country has been since the onset of Social Security. Remember, Social Security was given to the poorest population in the country, which means it was given to the wealthiest population in the country. And it succeeded in its ulterior motives, which were to segregate the grandparents from the children, because the grandparents are the seat of cultural memory. They retain the cultural memory to be passed down. If you can wipe out that link and separate them from the grandchildren so they don't teach them the daily lessons, they don't tell them about the confiscation of gold, they don't tell them about how it was, and they don't impart their cultural mores and morality and religious beliefs to them, then let me guess, I think you'd wind up with a population of children that has no modesty, that believes it's perfectly normal to go on the internet and exhibit themselves in the most sexually crass manner possible, that has no idea, that actually accepts the fact that blatant immorality and sexuality is a normal part of being, of upbringing, and that it's perfectly acceptable to have raves and other things in which 12-year-old girls perform oral sex on 12-year-old boys. Why are we surprised? This is what Roosevelt had in mind, even if he didn't know it. You know, watch what you pray for. You'll get it. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm done pontificating. So jurisdiction of venue, very easy to establish, but the part you're going to have trouble with is establishing the straw man's. You'll have to state on paper that the straw party somehow falls within jurisdiction. How are you going to do that? You're going to say it's a resident? You could. It would be fine. It doesn't affect you. How about that it's a transmitting utility on behalf of the United States, a sub-entity of the United States? See Exhibit A. What would Exhibit A be? The birth certificate or the Social Security card or both, Exhibits A and B. And right there, you've locked them into the jurisdiction. Can they truly say that that entity, oh, please, come back, Mr. Magistrate, and give me an order that says this court doesn't have jurisdiction so I can ask you why, and you have to say, oh, because that entity is not an agent or a minister or a citizen of the United States. Thank you, because I'm going to take that out then and send it to every police department, police agency, and virtually every agency or government to establish. That might be an interesting way to establish your separation. Get turned down for failure to provide adequate evidence by way of the pleadings of jurisdiction. Imagine that. Come in as a plaintiff, let them do their usual tricks against you, and use that as your judgment, because that's what you're really seeking. Everybody who can hear my voice, think about that. Oh, but I don't have the money to spend on a plaintiff action. What is it, $350 not a file? But you do. And it's called an affidavit of informa pauperis. And there is one floating around that has had excellent success because it establishes, using the double vertical line dollar sign, that the living man has no money. And the living man can have no money. And because there is none in circulation, they're only commodities. And then, excuse me, in a complaint or in a summary judgment in lieu of complaint, you'd establish the facts and conclusions. But that can be done by the counts. Count one, here's what we want and why. Count two, because they're ugly, whatever it is you decide to put in the pleading. So these are very easy to construct. These are a lot easier to construct than your administrative remedies, which can go on for 6 or 7 or 8 pages, and notary certificates, and the notary's letter of due presentment and demand for payment, on and on. You don't need all of that here, although you do want a cover letter from the notary. It could be one paragraph, pursuant to my authority under such and such statute. Demand is hereby made to enter the attached summary judgment in lieu of complaint into the evidence file in case number whatever. Now, that's how easy it is to get in evidence. Then all you really have to say, if they call a hearing on it, if they call a hearing, by the way, on any of your petitions, you do understand the purpose of that hearing. With all due respect to Jack Smith, the purpose of that hearing is not to set the record straight. The purpose of that hearing is to screw you. That's a given. That's as it should be. They are defending the United States, and they perceive you as a threat. Even if you come in with a completely honorable petition, you are a threat to the judiciary. We had something happen the other day, and it's been told to me that the judge came out into the clerk's office and said to the fellow, you know, you're tearing the judiciary apart. And he said, yes, I know. That's the way they perceive it. I can't blame them. But we're not attempting to tear the judiciary apart. We're attempting to restore the judiciary from all of its parts. Because when public policy came in, the judiciary and its offices were dissected into parts, into fictional parts. And the only way to restore it to what it was, really, is to reassemble those parts go back uphill. It's just like a salmon swimming upstream. Got to go back to our roots if we want this restored to what it was. That's if you want to restore to what it was. You may just be happy being a child of God, and may I suggest that operating within God's kingdom is really where, well, it's certainly where I want to be. So, it's not very difficult, we can conclude, to construct plaintiff's petitions. Moreover, it can be very beneficial. And let me show you how. Number one, if you get the clerk's stamp on the judgment by confession. And that is actually pretty easy to do. It all depends on how well you disguise your process. Now, I'm not saying to sneak it by them, but I'm saying that it's none of their business to be dissecting it. So the more you make it look like their usual process, the easier and faster the procedure should go and the least amount of paperwork you'll be facing. Secondly, we can use a complaint. Thirdly, we can use summary judgment in lieu of complaint. The second choice was a complaint with summary judgment. There are other things you can do. You can file a complaint, again, with an affidavit of informa pauperis, but instead of putting in a petition for summary judgment, you can put in a demand for a bill of particulars. And if you look in the special rules for admiralty, excuse me, you'll see that the special rules for admiralty specifically say that a complaint can be filed with a demand for a bill of particulars attached. Now, that's a marvelous thing. For those who don't know what a demand for a bill of particulars is, it's a demand that questions be answered. It's basically a list of interrogatories in which you establish the answers if they fail to respond. And in local rules, they may limit that to 10 or 15 or 20 of those. But you would include those questions and the answers with each one, and a demand that they return them by a certain date. That can wake up the other side awfully fast. And the way you know that is because they will respond with an outright hostile response, calling you every name in the book they can get away with. You tax protester, you wife beater, scofflaw, or a delinquent dad. Oh, that's a nasty one, isn't it? A delinquent dad. You robbed me of my children, and now you're telling me I'm delinquent. Well, that's because you're operating under the certificate of marriage, the marriage license. And we discuss at the Law Merchant Conference how to do away with that document real fast and how to turn that contract around, because you don't want to be going through a divorce with that contract. Because divorce, why do you think they call it divorce instead of termination of marriage? It ain't no termination. That's intuitively obvious, isn't it? It's just a redraft. Well, why not redraft it? Why not pay it and get rid of it and substitute a redraft in its place to your liking? Anyway, they'll call you every name in the book and use every trick they can not to have to come in, especially when you're the plaintiff. When I say not to have to come in, not to have to return the bill of particulars. And they'll do that especially hard in a case where you're the plaintiff, because if they were the plaintiff, they could simply weasel in, accept defeat, and put in a motion to dismiss the case. And if they do, you never see them fine, do you? And you won't. Of course, you could ask for those, but we suggest that you don't, because you don't charge your brother. However, you could also ask them, give them a kindly invitation to come in to discuss the complaint. And how do you do that? With a subpoena, and a subpoena ducis tecum for their records. And that would be done at the time of the complaint, asking of the clerk, ma'am, I'm going to need at least half a dozen or a dozen subpoenas for this case. And so she'll date them and sign them and issue them to you, because you are not an attorney. In many states, attorneys can issue their own subpoenas, if not all states. So that's another way to have some fun on the public side. And all you need for the privilege of doing that is to learn how to do a complaint. Even if the complaint fails, you'll gain great experience, and you will learn about the courtroom, and you will learn just how quickly they respond when they're challenged like that, just how serious a threat they consider it to be, and you'll perfect your method so you'll do better the next time. Or you'll bring it back in with a petition to reconsider, or a petition for void judgment. A terrible one. Give them one that they can knock down, but the case is reopened. Now you're back in there with your settlement. The only other documents one would need to know how to perfect would be a promissory note to go along with his pleading to bond the case, and an affidavit of informa pauperis. Now, that's a pretty simple package, isn't it? So perhaps we see that there's not all that much mystery involved in being a plaintiff. Wouldn't we rather be a plaintiff than a defendant? Let's answer that question when we come back after the break. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Attention, this is an RBN financial news bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar powered generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073. Or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
I got no bread for the rent. I got my next two paychecks.
Welcome back, my friend. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy, and we're bringing to the close another two-hour session of Take No Prisoners. We'll be continuing this discussion of the law. Various plaintiff procedures that one might consider learning and mastering over the next few programs, and then probably we'll be returning to the subject of commercial liens. You perfect a commercial lien and take that in as a plaintiff, you have the highest form of evidence that exists in the United States Federal Corporation. So friends, this is technology that everyone who thought this program was worth listening to needs. And I would suggest that it becomes part of one's bag of tricks, that one starts living and breathing the concept of being a plaintiff. If you want some experience, why not sue a friend? A friend who has a terrible credit rating, right, so we don't do any damage. And that would be a good opportunity to test out confession of judgment. You can bring that in on an affidavit of informa pauper. Says your first experience. Watch them try to fight you. If they do, it's a good affidavit. They probably won't. And now you have a case filed for no Federal Reserve notes. And you put in a confession of judgment to the clerk. And it should be a done deal. See how that goes. In fact, sue 10 friends. And now put in 10 confessions of judgment. Actually, do 2 or 3. And the clerk will start to know you and respect you. Wow. You know, who is this guy? He wins all his cases. He gets all of these debtors to confess judgment. And so now she's got a loose right arm, like she's in Las Vegas, right? She's pulling that lever on the one-armed bandit, or she's stamping your papers. And then suddenly the fifth or sixth one you put before her is one for $15 million against whatever surety happened to own up to that liability. Does that not sound like it's doable? At first, it may sound daunting, but think of the controversies you're involved in. If you've been to court half a dozen times, that would be a piece of cake. Put together a confession of judgment with a buddy. Call up the clerk and ask her, or stop in. And just tell her, I have a confession of judgment on a friend. What's the fee involved? Do we actually have to file anything other than the judgment by confession with the affidavit attached? She'll tell you no, and she'll tell you what the fee is, and then you bring it into her, and she reads it carefully. Ma'am, make sure, do you read these things very carefully? I want to make sure that my process is entirely correct. Yes, blah, 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 blah. And it's just a standard thing. Could be for $500. Stamp. Thank you so, ma'am. Is there anything I can do to show my appreciation? No, I'm not allowed to take any gifts or gratuities. Well, thank you. How about a hug? You've been very kind to me. I really appreciate it. I was so scared of this process. And a month later, you bring her in another and another. This is how we've established rapport with numerous public officials. They get to know us. They enjoy their time with us. Maybe the fourth one contains a surprise. But I guarantee you by the fourth one, she's not reading the papers. Why would she? She knows you, and you've established your credibility, and now you're just going to bring her to the big boy. That's just one simple formula that I'm suggesting, that there are people out there who are sufficiently smart, clever, and wise to be able to put to work. Anyway, folks, join me tomorrow night, Sunday at 9 p.m. for the next edition of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'd love to see you at the October conference, October 11th to the 15th, the Law Merchant Leadership Retreat. Thank you for joining me, and enjoy the Labor Day holiday. It's good night. True.